You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of Casino Royale.
Your file shows no kills, Bond. But to become a 00, it takes two.
How did you die?
Your contact?
Not well.
You needn't worry.
The second is... Yes. Considerably.
The man was Le Chiffre, private banker to the world's terrorists. Which would explain how he could set up a high-stakes poker game at Casino Royale in Montenegro. If he loses this game, he'll have nowhere to run. You're the best player in the service.
The Treasury has agreed to stake you in the game. But if you lose, our government will have directly financed terrorism. I will be keeping my eye on our government's money and off your perfectly formed house.
You noticed. I hope our little game isn't causing you to perspire.
It doesn't bother you, killing those people.
Well, I wouldn't be very good at my job if it did. How's our girl? Melted your cold heart yet? James,
get the girl out.
You're not going to let me in there. You've got your armor back on.
I have no armor left. You've stripped it from me. Whatever is left of me. Whatever I am. I'm yours.
The only question remains. Will you yield? In time?
All right, everybody, you're just listening to the trailer for Casino Royale, and the story is as follows. After receiving a license to kill, British Secret Service agent James Bond heads to Madagascar, where he uncovers a link to Le Chiffre, a man who finances terrorist organizations. Learning that Le Chiffre plans to raise money in a high-stakes poker game, MI6 sends Bond to play against him, gambling that their newest 00 operative will topple the man's organization. The film is starring Daniel Craig, Eva Green, Mads Mikkelsen, Jeffrey Wright, and Judi Dench. It is directed by Martin Campbell and is written by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, and Paul Haggis. Here to join me today for this 2006 Patreon throwback retrospective review, I have Josh Parham.
Hello, hello.
Casey Lee Clark.
Hello.
And Dan Baer.
Christ, I missed the Cold War.
Was so curious which line you were going to use, Dan.
You know my name. You know my name. You know my name.
Yes.
Anyway, this is such an awesome movie. I can't believe that it's been 15 years since Daniel Craig had his first movie come out in theaters for all of us. You know, he got cast beforehand, and you know, I remember when the casting was first announced, the headlines were Bond is blonde, and everybody was making a big deal about how this was a radical departure from all of the other James Bonds. And, you know, Daniel Craig, up until that point in his career, he had made a couple of indie films that had caught on pretty well. He was mostly a character actor, but it was definitely his performance, if anyone had seen up in that point, Layer Cake, that I think was probably the role that sealed the deal for him with this and got him the infamous role of James Bond. And here we are now in 2021, 15 years later, I assume everyone on this podcast has seen No Time to Die.
I'm seeing it Friday. It's a long story. We'll get to it.
I have
not seen it.
But all I will say is that his tenure as James Bond has come to an end. So we are going back and looking at everything from the beginning again here with what is regarded as one of the best in this decades-long franchise. Starting us off first with first-time watcher, Dan Baer. Dan, in 2021, watching Casino Royale for the first time, what did you think of it?
Oh, it was like I was all the way back in 2006.
What do you mean?
It's everything about this movie from the the cinematography and editing style to the fashions to the technology to the, in some ways, to the score felt just very, I went right back to that mid-2000s time period. It just felt so very of, if not that exact year, then of that like era of film.
You mean like before CGI took everything over?
Basically. and I think that's both a good thing and a bad thing. Or like it's a good thing and also not a good thing. If not necessarily bad, but not necessarily good either. Like there is something about it that feels workmanlike.
Okay.
And kind of pro forma. I think it's good, but I also think that if the main character was not named James Bond, this would be relegated to like this, you know, underseen, underappreciated movie that did really well in 2006, but everyone has kind of forgotten about in the intervening 15 years.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th-century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th-century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Dan, you are reminding me way too much of your comments of Joker when we reviewed that in 2019. If this movie was named anything other than Joker, I very much remember hearing you say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being facetious.
I know. It's just like, so I have, for full context, the only Bond film that I had ever seen prior to watching this just now was Skyfall on a really, really bad quality DVD screener that a friend of mine gave me at the time. And that movie was a very strange movie to have be your first Bond film ever. And I spent most of the movie going, who is that? What is happening? Why is this important? I don't understand, even though I thought it was well done.
Josh is rolling his eyes right now.
I'm just sitting here listening.
And it felt like with that one that I was definitely missing out on something having never seen a Bond movie before. And this one, I didn't really feel like I was missing out on much without seeing a Bond movie before, but without having a connection to that character and its history other than like, you know, just the sort of cultural osmosis permeation. Like I know about the Bond girls and M and Q and, you know, the theme music and all the gadgets. And I was surprised by how few gadgets there were in this.
That was a deliberate choice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I have no doubt that it was. Because it was like, it was almost very, very pointed. Like the one gadget is a defibrillator that it doesn't work because he doesn't plug it in right, whatever. But look, Daniel Craig, hot. Ava Green, hot. I don't understand why Ava Green isn't just like cast in everything in general, but particularly after watching this, which was a huge blockbuster and in which she is so fantastic. I mourn for the career that should have been, which is all to say, I like Casino Royale. It is a very good movie. I don't think it's great, but I do like it. I like it a lot.
All right, cool. Now kicking it over to our franchise expert, diehard fan over here, Josh Parham.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say that, Dan, I totally kind of see where you're coming from with this movie. And this, because Casino Royale is a movie that I think both tries to reinvent this character for a new audience, but also tries to pay homage to some things in the past. And I can understand where that lack of knowledge of the franchise's history would be a detriment. But I would still say that for me, I do absolutely love this film. And what I particularly love about it is, first of all, Daniel Craig's performance, which I think really brings a level of depth and complexity to the character of James Bond that really had not been seen before. And I think that is so refreshing. The cast around him is also really good. I think that these action sequences are spectacularly delivered. I think that Martin Campbell, he's a director that I almost agree with your point, Dan, that he's not somebody who is like a big auteur, but that's also something the series has kind of fallen back on in the past. It's only recently that they've kind of gotten bigger name directors. And I think that what he does really well is just conceive these action set pieces that are really entertaining, very thrilling, and I just have a blast with them. I think that Ava Green is also another highlight. The chemistry she has with Craig is just absolutely fantastic. I think that this is one of the best films in the series. It's a great, great action film. And yeah, I absolutely, top to bottom, love it to death.
All right, Casey Lee Clark.
Yeah, I love this movie. I was introduced to it on television, on cable, because my mom's a big fan of it, and I grew up in a house where the TV's always on, and we're watching the middle of a movie.
I also love that even in the Daniel Craig era, watching James Bond movies on cable is still a staple in the American household.
Absolutely. Yeah, for the longest time, that was the only way I had seen it, but I'd, you know, bits and pieces over the years seen the whole movie. And not until recently did I finally, like in the last year, get into action movies. But prior to that, this was kind of, for a while, one of the few action movies that I genuinely loved. And I think beyond just being such a great, like, introduction, I think, for people my age to Bond, this was also my first Bond movie. I think that it does a good job of being very fun, but also having, like, the dramatic elements. I think also just Bond in general is a great, like, wealthy escapism, you know, of beautiful people driving nice cars, wearing beautiful clothes, going to places you would never even dream of going. It's fun. It's so fun. I think Daniel Craig is phenomenal. Like I said, I'm seeing No Time to Die finally on Friday, because for a while, Casino Royale was the only Bond movie I had ever seen. So this past like week and a half, my boyfriend and I have been watching all of them. We watched Skyfall last night. We're watching Spectre and then seeing No Time to Die. I'm in Bond week. I'm having a great time.
Wait, did you like strategically skip Quantum of Solace? Because...
Oh, no, we watched it.
Okay. I was going to say.
Just
because it's not that good.
God, that editing. We were not talking about that today. Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And yet, Daniel Craig, still great in it, because he's great in all of them. I think he's so great as this character. I think the action sequences are top-notch. Ava Green is phenomenal. I think their chemistry is so great. And Mads Mikkelsen, I think this was my introduction to him way back when, and I think he's terrific. I think he plays such an interesting villain where, you know, he has his own stakes within the poker match of, if I don't win, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really great. And, you know, My Name is my favorite Bond song of the Craig era. I know Skyfall's great, but goddamn, I love me some Chris Cornell. And that song, like, the way that you open into the opening credits in this movie with that opening scene is just phenomenal, and it's so much fun, and I love all the set pieces. I mean, I can't think of Venice without thinking of Don't Look Now and the end of this movie. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Casino Royale.
I'm a massive fan of Casino Royale. It's actually one of my favorite action films of the 2000s, of the decade. And part of that is because it is a reboot of sorts where we're getting a new James Bond. They decided to kind of change the direction of the series after the previous Pierce Brosnan films. And they went for a more gritty, hard-hitting style in terms of like the action. And some of these set pieces are so insanely choreographed and staged that to me, even with the excellence of something like Skyfall or even the grand epic qualities of No Time to Die, I think that some of the action sequences in Casino Royale are still the best that the franchise has ever seen. So it came roaring out of the gate for me. And every time I've watched it since, I always expect that it's going to slump for me in some way or another, but it is just such an adrenaline rush, and Daniel Craig's performance is so incredibly magnetic. He has like these poised eyes that you just can't look away from. And it's really, really incredible how much charisma he has, even though he doesn't necessarily overplay it. You know, he could be charming. He could be a ruthless killer. Sometimes just seeing him even investigate and play around with, you know, like a cell phone, trying to figure out like what these hidden messages mean. It's just riveting to watch him on screen. And then, of course, his chemistry with Eva Green is still probably, yeah, definitely the best. Deliberately so, considering that all the other sequels in his franchise tenure seem to always harken back to how good his chemistry was with Eva Green. So.
Yeah, 15 years later, he still can't get over her.
No, not at all.
Can you blame him?
True. No, I'm in love with Eva Green. You're in love with Eva Green. I mean, yeah. Dan, you'd change sexuality for Eva Green, probably.
She is a total fence jumper for me.
So we're all there. We all get it. But I think ultimately the thing that works so well about this, like I said, is that it was fresh, it was new at the time, it has this tremendous pace throughout, even at 2.5 hours, or rather close to 2.5 hours long, and also it has a very interesting character arc for James Bond from the beginning of this movie until the end. There are like a few things that I do have some minor quibbles with, but they're so minor because everything else is truly firing on all cylinders that it more than makes up for those issues that I have. So I want to actually first start off, though, with, as you always do with a James Bond film, the opening.
Hey, everyone. Sorry to interrupt, but this is a preview of our 2006 Patreon podcast review of Casino Royale here on the Next Best Picture podcast. In order to get the full review, you will have to head on over to Next Best Pictures Patreon, where for $1 minimum a month, you will get the rest of this hour and a half long review, along with other exclusive podcast content from us as well. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and we are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we shall see you all next time.
Hey there!
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.